Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ is in the studio. Bubble Boy had to take off. He had to split, so he's no longer in the studio with us. But we also have Baird Bugger, Walt DeMartini down in South Florida, both of those guys down in South Florida, and Vinny Two Tanks out on the left coast of California, just outside of L.A. Mr. Hollywood, we could call him.
Mr. Showbiz.
Yeah, kind of. You know, there's a story that crossed my desk this week that I wonder, Vinny, if you're familiar with. And it has some very, some interesting questions.
Really?
Of what's going out on the going on out in the West Coast. It might affect divers or may make you look over your shoulder a little bit more when you're diving off of Catalina or just off the coast of California.
Oh, I think I got it.
The mysterious traces have been discovered 2.4 miles under the ocean. Is that what you were thinking?
No, I heard there's a pod of orcas outside LA.
No, this
area.
Is way scarier.
Traces of what?
Well, like they found this these paths like footprints, from marine life or some major whale, like massive whale, like, you know, well, megalodon type
a footprint
stuff.
Footprint of well, a whale. What well, are you talking
they,
about?
They leave traces in the sand, whales, like, believe it or not, when they're down there.
Like
they
they're
can
scat?
Swim. No, like a footprint type of thing.
But they don't have feet.
A flipper print?
Yeah, well, like they call it a trace. So it would leave, you know,
you mean, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. Stop everything. Greg, you mean to tell me that there are whales in the Pacific Ocean?
Well, we don't know. We don't know because, you know, 95 to 70% of the Earth's
next
surface
thing you'll be telling me it's salt water.
Is hidden beneath the water. But check this out. They've discovered 2.4 miles below the surface of the Pacific Ocean between Mexico and Hawaii. These traces that are not caused by mining or scientific operations. At least a bunch of scientists agree. And these quote-unquote footprints look to be the creation of a marine creature, but they're not sure because the only thing they can figure is that they were created by some major form of marine life like whales. But whales don't generally go that deep, they didn't think. So they're a little confused of what it could be. But deep-diving whales seem to be the only thing that makes the most sense to them to explain these mysterious traces beneath the Pacific Ocean. That, my friends, or
Greg,
aliens Greg in the Pacific Ocean buried a bugger. What do you think? You feel
could
safer diving
Meg
in Florida waters? Well, I said that already.
What about current?
No. They're saying, the scientists are saying marine life.
How do they rule out current? The water made these.
Because the traces
patterns
would be different. These are scientists.
That's your answer for everything.
Well, yeah.
I can't explain.
It's science!
Or is it?
So, I don't know.
If it was really science, they'd have a good answer for why it's not, why those weren't made.
Well, see, the scientists don't want to say it's aliens because they'd be laughed, you know, out of their colleges or wherever they're doing all their science stuff.
Labs?
Maybe. Could be garages. I don't know.
Yeah. We have some traces here.
Do we? Yeah. But are they caused by whales or aliens?
Lobsters.
Either
walking.
One. I mean, whales, you know, we kind of like diving with whales, but if you thought you were diving in an area that is a hot spot for alien sightings or, you know, it's funny, they call them footprints. You know, these whales leave traces, but
it was from spaceships?
Well, that's what they're saying in this article. The scientists, they're kind of saying under their breath, like, hey, look, it's either deep diving whales or it's aliens.
Probably
we can't come
the
up.
Whales.
Well, they don't understand how the whales would do it either, honestly. They said that's the only thing that would make any kind of logical sense, but from what we know, whales don't go down there.
No,
they're
maybe
not
they
down
do.
That deep.
How about the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, it could be.
Damn it, Barry.
What?
You want
the aliens, don't you?
Well, I mean, would that affect your diving? If you thought you were diving in an area where there was alien activity, would you be looking over your shoulder and feeling a little weird about the whole thing? Or
no, I think it
would
be
you go
great.
Out of your way?
Let's
okay.
just say I made damn sure I had my wetsuit zipped up.
I was going to say, you know, now Barry is looking forward to it, but we know how he feels about being probed, I guess. I don't know. Is that...
No, I'm not due for another 4 years.
Okay. But have you heard anything about this Vinny Two Tanks being you're out there? Or do you just write that kind of stuff off as crazy talk?
Anything about it. First I've heard about it.
Well, there you go. See, we're cutting edge. We're breaking news stories and starting rumors and innuendo. That's what we
not
specialize.
My endo.
But this really is a story. You know, between, like I said, California and Mexico, down there 2.4 miles below the ocean surface, they're flying.
Would that be Area 52?
Maybe. I guess we could say that.
That's pretty deep.
He's always thinking. He is, Barry.
That's
the
pretty
border.
Deep. Two and a half miles. Almost.
You're not going to be diving there. But if you were diving, you know, on the surface or even swimming along the
what
surface,
about giant squid? They go deep.
Well, that sounds as logical as anything else.
A lazy squid that would just drag his tentacles across the sand.
Yeah, it leaves a trace.
It's like it was Monday and he just wasn't feeling it, you know? He's like, God, I can't get motivated.
Right. You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
I think it's a giant squid.
I think CJ, a lot of people don't realize this, but he has the makings of a major scientist. So, anyway, something to think about or
just because I'm
ignore.
A genius.
Is but I wonder, would you be a little weary?
About, no, because I'd be so...
You'd be pumped.
Much more shallow than that.
Well, no, I mean...
If it were a squid or a lobster?
Well, what if you were doing like one of those drift dives over the open ocean? You know, they do that. That's a fairly popular type of dive as well, where you, you know, especially at night, and you do one of these open ocean dives... Where you hang from a line down, say, like 20, 30 feet, and you
like
drift.
Bait?
Yeah. I was going to say, like.
And then you just see what kind of pops up throughout the dive. These have been spectacular dives from what I've heard. I haven't done one of those yet. Now, I've talked to many people who have, and they're very popular, especially out there.
What you do
is
you have a glow stick, and you hold it in your butt cheeks, and this attracts the fish.
Yeah. Makes for great photo ops if you can get the camera lens back, you know, around there.
Or your buddy will have to take the shot.
True. There you go.
Take the shot!
So I don't know. But, I mean, one of the elements of that type of diving is the fear of the unknown because you're in an environment where you never know what's going to show up.
We got to go investigate.
And it's like, you know, you're kind of thinking like, well, anything could come. It could, you know, something like the Meg might
come
up.
Could be a Humboldt squid.
Yeah. I mean, so would
you never know what's going to show up?
That's right. Would you search that out, or would you be a little nervous about that?
That would be really fun.
You would go for it, CJ.
That'd be like
this
an
would
adrenaline
be the new
rush.
New Discovery show.
What's that? But live
Greg going out to Area 52, looking 2.5 miles down.
Mm-hmm. Greg is the
for
dangler,
either aliens or giant squid.
The dangler,
the dangler.
The dangler.
I like it.
Where are you guys going? We're going dangling.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, you ain't never heard of dangling?
That actually is a great way to describe those dives.
Dangling.
A dangling. A human lure is how I've always, you know, considered.
He's going to put a light stick in his mouth and we're going to lower him down by rope.
I believe we said butt cheeks.
That's
earlier.
Not his mouth.
Well, no.
Yeah. So, anyway.
He's got to have his rug in his mouth. Come on. Let's
yeah,
be practical.
Really. Exactly. That makes no sense. Jeez. Okay. But
butt cheeks it is.
The dangling. Or we're going to go dangling. That is pretty, that's a great way to describe it. And I would do it as well. I mean, I'd take the chance.
We got.
I'd want to have some buddies with me.
Is that a special charter?
I would be like the Big Lobster, though, and I'd put Bubble Boy and CJ, like, you know, in between me and the deeper depths.
I'll do it.
Of the
I'm
unknown.
In.
And then I'd, you know, I would stick the glow stick in their butt cheeks too. I wouldn't want it. That'd be weird.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm obsessed with sharks. I love sharks. I love when they kill people. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's not the part most people love.
No, but it's the part they get excited about.
Yes.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ's in the studio. We got Barry the Bugger down in South Florida, Captain Walt DeMartini, Vinny Two Tanks, who's out on the West Coast. And now we are connected with the dive god, Mr. Neil Watson, who's in the Cayman Islands today for the Diving Hall of Fame event. Neil, how are you, buddy? Come on in.
Man, I am doing absolutely fantastic. Life couldn't be better.
Yeah. Now, I know you're having a great time because you're hanging with Captain Slate as well. Is that right, as we speak, right there?
Yeah, Captain Slate, Jerry Beatty, Tom Ingram from DEMA, the Who's Who, Stephen Frink that got award last night.
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell from Sunset House. It's amazing weekend.
Excellent.
And we're smoking a good cigar.
We're smoking Cuban cigars, having a little cocktail watching Sunset at Sunset House.
Oh, very good. All right. So anybody,
better, dude.
who or everybody who's anybody in the dive industry is there, which explains why I'm here. But regardless, I mean, it's a pretty big event. This has been going on for a few years. Steve and Frank from Alert Diver Magazine got the award last night or got inducted last night. Is that what happened?
But that's correct. And actually, Slate was accepting the award for Dick Witkowski, you know, that kind of started with the pioneer, the founder of Nitrox, really.
Yeah.
And ran the chamber forever in the Keys. He's still down there working at 88. An amazing guy. Slate did a fantastic job. It was a little bit of a Neil Watson roast, but that's
yeah.
okay.
Okay.
I did have to bring Neil in my conversation, of course.
Yeah, if we would have aired it on Scuba Radio, I'm guessing I would have had to hit the dump button a few times. Am I correct with that assumption?
Well, I never get in public forums to details about Neil because it's just not appropriate even in the dive industry.
Yes, exactly. But it's wildly entertaining for sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We went down today to Cayman's International Scuba Diving Museum, which is very, very cool. First time I've been in there.
Yeah.
And of course, Slate had to upstage me and kind of stick it to me, showing that he was inducted in before I was. But that's okay. That's all right. You know.
Well, there you go. Absolutely, that's what it's all about. But yeah, it's quite a. Well, I haven't been to the museum. Is it? I mean, how big is it? It has a bunch of plaques and things and information about all the inductees or what, Neil?
Yeah, videos. It's got old dive. It's got Lloyd Bridges' original gear that he used in the Sea Hunt.
Cool.
Wooden fins that was made back during the war when the rubber everything was going in for parachutes and stuff like that. Some really neat stuff.
Huh.
Really cool.
So is that right there, like on 7 Mile Beach in Cayman and on Grand Cayman, or where exactly is the museum?
It's right at Georgetown, literally.
Oh, okay.
It's across from the harbor, down from the 7 Mile Beach, in the little intersection right there where all the little stores are.
Got it.
It's an old historical 1700 building that served as a town hall, a jail, a police station, rescue station, and now it's the History Museum of the Caymans.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, I'll definitely be on the list next time I head over there for sure. Now, are you hanging out at the Tiki Bar there at Sunset House, the famous Tiki Bar, or where?
That's it.
Yeah. My bar.
Watching the sunset. So have you guys gotten in the water? Are you planning to do anything like that or even go snorkeling right there, which you could do? Or you're too busy drinking and smoking?
I mean, Slate's been down here for a good part of the week with the group, so he's been diving. I was going to say I can't dive today because I'm flying tomorrow, but I never believed in that crap anyhow. So that, that's not the reason I haven't been in the water.
Okay. It had more to do with the booze and stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So, Cam Slate, have you been?
I mean, it's my competition, but Sunset House is as close to a perfect dedicated dive resort as you can have.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolutely, you just walk out of your room and you go in the water and you go diving.
Yeah.
The boat's full right up.
Famous mermaid statue right there that you could literally snorkel out to if you wanted, but it's a famous dive spot. Captain Slate, did you go down there and rub the boobs and stuff as a lot of divers
always
do?
Always. Anything.
No, I mean the statue. I mean the statue.
First time I ever got slapped by a statue.
Very nice. Have you been diving all around the island, Captain Slate? If you've been there,
a couple places. I didn't make it to the Kittiwake because we had a meeting with the Hall of Fame yesterday, but I'll get it later.
Yeah, very nice. And so Steve and Frank got inducted last night. So as part of that thing, does he gave a entertaining speech and stuff, I guess, or what? How does that work?
He did a great job. I mean, he's a great orator anyhow. The best part is he's doing a presentation for the Cayman Ministry of Tourism, and he talked about the Bahamas. So I was happy.
you were enjoying that, were you?
Yeah. I mean, that cost me drinks the rest of the night. But that's okay.
That worked.
All right. Well, wow. It sounds like a great event. One of these days, we got to get over there and do a broadcast as part of the Hall of Fame. Yep. Yeah, every September, this thing has been going down for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I'm guessing.
18 years.
18 years?
2020 will be the 20th anniversary and they're going to be a big, big blowout, and with all the past recipients and a bunch of special stuff, and it'll be more than like a one-night event. It'll be a real wingding. So that's
wow.
we got to mark that in the calendar.
I did not realize it'd been going that long. But there you go. We definitely got to get out there for that. And it's been too long since I've been in the Caymans.
The Department of Tourism and the Cayman Islands, I mean, everybody knows they do a great job, but they really work their butts off to pull us off every year, and they can't be thanked enough. It was really fun.
And, you know, one of the great things this year, they included some new categories for some of the local operators, kids that have come up from, I mean, one kid that was born and raised in Cayman Brac, and you know, it's tomorrow's diving industry leaders, and they did just amazing presentations, and it was really nice to see this kind of talent, you know, in the islands, and where tomorrow's leaders are going to come from.
Really, really nice. I mean, a lot of these type of events, what they do, they celebrate the pioneers, the people who blaze that trail, and then they use that that platform to promote the sport and to encourage more kids and stuff to get into it and follow in their fin kicks. I love it. It's a great cause. You put in a good word for us. Lie to them and tell them that we'd be a great addition for next year's event, okay?
Always. I already have.
All right, well, there you go. The dive god Neil Watson and Captain Slate from down there in Key Largo. Guys, have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, pal.
What a cool thing, huh?
Too bad they're not having any fun.
No, never. More coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio with me. We got Barry the Bugger, Waldy Martini down in South Florida at the Gomez Hilton. We also have Vinny Two Tanks out there on the left coast making up the crew today. All right, so CJ did ask me, it's like, we should have asked the dive god, Neil Watson, what?
If he'd ever been dangling.
All right, so, you know, we should have. You're right, but I know the answer. I know Neil, after doing this show for 21 years, I know what he would answer.
What would he say?
He would say, every single dive, my friend. But he'd do it much like, every single dive. I can't really do a good Neil Watson, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's been dangling, and I bet you wish you had to. Well, it's on your list. You'll dangle the next dive you do?
Possibly.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we can do that right down there in South Florida. Dr. Doug Ebersole is going to join us here in just a bit. He's down there doing some rebreather diving, and that would be the way to do a dangling dive. Would be go down on a rebreather. You have no bubbles, so the critters would be even more inclined to come up close to you. That could include, you know, the aliens, the whales, whatever. I don't know that we'd have this. I haven't heard of aliens off the East Coast here. Off of Florida, alien story.
There is the road to Bimini.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, that'd be the Bahamas, though. We'd have to get over the Bahamas, but we could do that. And yeah, there's rumors of alien activity. Well, there's a Bermuda Triangle. So if we just headed out into the Caribbean far enough, we could hit that. And who knows? Go a dangling. But, you have to be in really deep water to dangle. And you'd have to go down at least 20, 30 feet and hang from a line. Human lure diving, drift diving.
There is really deep water just a couple of miles off Florida.
Yeah, well, it'd be the Gulf Stream, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you just some of that. At night, you do it at night.
Night dangling.
Aliens don't come out during the day, generally. They prefer the night.
Their big eyes are sensitive to light.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. All right, more coming up. Dr. Doug and then some. Stay close.
Hey,
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
But by the way, the water is fine. Why don't you take a little plunge?
The water's fine, yeah. There ain't no telling, baby, what we'll find.
Don't cost nothing.
Put your hand in mine. The water's fine.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ in the studio with me. Barry the Bugger. Captain Walt DeMartini down in South Florida. Vinny Two Tanks out there on the left coast. All right, so I got some kind of feel-good news to share with everybody today. Just when you thought the world was going to hell in a handbasket, there is some hope for our oceans and the marine inhabitants that we love to go see underwater as divers.
Well, there's good news.
There's good news for once. I mean, depending if you want to believe it or not. So there was a report put out, I don't know, a few months ago, maybe it was actually last year, and the paper came out, and it was kind of alarmist, and it said that, you know, some scientists have gotten together and claimed that 55% of the world's oceans have been commercially fished, or are currently being commercially fished. Over half, you know, of the world's oceans are being fished.
That sounds high.
Well, that's what some people that read that initial report thought as well, and they went back and looked at the data, which was public. It was published publicly, and they went and analyzed it because they had the same gut feeling, like, this doesn't seem right. How is that possible? I mean, the ocean covers, like,
most of the planet.
Water, yeah, like, you know, 90, 70, 90% of the, you know, Earth's surface is ocean or water. And they thought that was a bit high. Seemed unrealistic. So they looked at the data and came back and said, "Whoa, no, they're not looking at this properly. They didn't do the data analysis correct." And from what we see,
or correctly,
only 4% of the world's oceans have been fished. So,
wow, see, now that sounds low, but I like it.
So maybe it's in the middle. Who knows? But you know, that's a good thing, I would think. I would go
as in fished out, or just they're fishing there?
Fishing, not fished out.
Currently being fished.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, if they're being commercially fished, there's a lot of fish being taken. So, you know, and
that's commercially
usually,
only, not a dude out with his rod and reel.
Correct. Yeah. I believe that is correct.
Not Andy and Opie.
Yeah. I mean, the commercial fishing, I mean, they take a lot of marine life out of there. So, you know, you hear this all the time, like, oh my gosh, the oceans are way overfished. They're way overfished. We're not going to have anything in 20 years. It's all gone. The sky is falling. Or, well, it wouldn't be the sky. It'd be the oceans dying. And, I always kind of take that with a grain of salt, because every time I go diving, I see cool stuff. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean nothing. That doesn't mean that the ocean isn't being overfished. I would never argue with anybody to that fact.
Yeah, that always freaks me out when I hear stuff like that.
But, you know, to think that, okay, maybe it's, you know, 4 or 5%. Okay, that's, maybe there is
possibly
still
manageable,
hope.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe we still have a chance to save things after all. So that's, you know, that everybody feels good about that, right? Barry, you're happy about that, I would hope. Yeah.
If it's correct, sure. But there are areas that we dive down here that are not as vibrant as they used to be.
Well, of course. I mean, there's no doubt that happens. I would never argue that point. I mean, you know, you hear all these stories from back in the day, the pioneers talking about they've seen, oh, gosh, you should have been here 20 years ago. It was amazing, blah, 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 you know. And I think it's absolutely a valid point.
You know what? It's a good way to collect data for this.
How's that?
Dangling
diving. Yeah. I do think you have coined a new type of diving.
That'll be my legacy when I'm gone.
Dangling drift diving.
Dangling.
When CJ is enshrined in the Diving Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'll be in before Greg will.
Why do you say that?
He never coined a phrase.
Oh, because he already came up with a phrase, dangling diving.
Wow. Dangling.
I'm a dangling diver. Dangling. Dang, D-A-N-L-G-L-N-G-L-N-G-L-N. Dangling. I'm a dangling diver.
I like you can get the scuba cowboy to do a song for you on what, dangling diving.
You didn't like what I just did?
That was a good demo. That was
okay.
A demo.
Okay, all right, fair enough. That's a scratch.
You
got to
add the glow stick in there, too.
Yes. Without a glow stick, up your keister.
We're dangling, the water's fine. But that glow stick where the sun don't shine. We're dangling.
Wow. Well, at least we know what to do next week. You know, we got something on the list, and we're going to have to do some dangling diving. It's very popular in West Palm Beach. It's the drift diving capital of the world right there. So I would imagine there's a lot of dangling divers that are, you know, right there. They may not realize that they're called that.
We need to have some T-shirts printed up. I bet those would sell like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would.
Dangle.
I mean, our buddy Phil Nico. You know, Phil Narcosis, right? I haven't talked to him lately, but he's been traveling the world. But he resides in West Palm, and I wonder if he would embrace being called a dangling diver. Would he embrace that, you know, type of, you know, drift diving description? I think I would. I mean, there's no negative,
there's no downside to it.
You know, I mean, if
dangle in the dark,
if yeah. I mean, if you're a dangling diver, and someone looks at you, your buddy looks at you like, "What are you doing?" I'm dangling. Like, oh, I didn't notice. Then maybe I could see there could be, you know, a negative connotation to the effect, or you might want to avoid that. But regardless, we got something else to do. All right, look. So Hurricane Flo, just to change the subject totally.
Smooth.
Have you ever thought about what happens to all the critters in those aquariums and things when a storm like that comes to shore?
Freedom.
Yeah. Well, they may be thinking that too, or they don't know. But I did see an article about the marine proprietors of some of the aquariums there along South Carolina. We're very concerned, obviously, as you would expect, about leaving the animals. And they do what you would expect any other person to do with a cat, dog, or whatever. If you can't take them with you, you leave them as much food and water as you can, and hopefully you'll come back to a structure, and they'll be in there waiting for you, all happy and excited that you're back.
Leave them a few dangling divers.
That's not appropriate, Barry. Really? Jeez, don't
suffer food.
It's good thing you're
grow up, Barry.
If you were here in the studio, I'd smack you. But I
know. Oh wait, registered trademark of CJ. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the point is, I mean, this happened with Hurricane Andrew. There was some marine parks or aquariums down there when that thing went out, and some stuff got out. You know, I mean, it applies to zoos and things as well. But
I'd be more worried about the gorillas.
The gorillas would be potentially bad. I don't know. Do they have gorillas down there?
Yeah. Down at Miami Metro Zoo, they lost the whole aviary, and we now have a lot of different
Why were there gorillas in
those
the
are birds,
bird
Greg.
Bird?
Yeah, I know that.
Area.
But no, the gorillas didn't get out, but the birds did.
Ah, yeah.
And now, so I don't know if the sea aquarium had any problems, because they're right on the water. You know, if the water came up high enough, could the fish just swim out?
I would think so. I mean, you know, the lionfish invasion was basically lionfish that were dumped out of an aquarium. They genetically, you know, traced that back to aquarium lionfish.
Like Finding Nemo.
No, it wasn't like Finding Nemo. It was, you know, they don't know if it happened during Hurricane Andrew or something like that, or it was intentional, like someone just dumped it because their lionfish got too big, you know? But they did trace it back to lionfish in aquarium.
Now they're everywhere.
Now they're everywhere. So, you know, if that happened up in, you know, luckily Flo doesn't look like it was as bad as they thought it was going to be. So I would assume the aquarium caregivers were relieved. But, you know, if you have something up there that probably shouldn't be, you know, floating around in the ocean,
Like, say, sea monkeys?
Well, that's a given. But they're already out there. They've already invaded. That kind of goes back to the whole alien thing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as other stuff, I mean, what would they have in an aquarium that would freak you out? Is there anything that, I don't know, Barry.
Killer whales?
Well, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? We can have killer whales off the coast of Florida or South Carolina. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
I don't think we have them out here.
Well, if the water's cool enough, it's no different than seeing a great white, I believe. They've had them.
I'll only dive in the summer.
Well, yeah, killer conch.
Killer conch would be bad, but that sounds like a B-movie kind of thing. I don't know. Killer whale. I dove with killer whales, but I'm a real man. I'm not Barry.
You were scared.
No, I wasn't.
Could be Meg lobsters.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, man. Hey, what are you doing today?
I don't know. I was kind of bored. You want to do something cool? Well, like what?
We could go scuba dive.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. I've never done it before.
Well, there's only a few things that you got to do to be good at it, and it's really easy to learn. Here. I'll show you. Come with me.
Okay, everyone, let's get our gear on. Let's go for a dive. Tanks are right here.
Now, to be a scuba diver, it can be so much fun. Making memories and sharing good times in the sun. Descend with the quickness, equalize so you don't pop. To avoid decompression sickness, always make a safety stop. You know, gonna be a scuba diver. Underwater survivor. I'm gonna be a scuba diver.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving and being a scuba diver. I am Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio with me. Barry the Bugger, Waldy Martini down in South Florida, Vinny Two Tanks out on the left coast, and our number one dangling diver, Dr. Doug Ebersole is with us right now via FaceTime audio. Dr. Doug, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, Greg.
Yeah,
good to talk to you.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? You've done this many times, drift diving, right?
Becoming, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not since this morning.
Not since, were you drift diving down there in West Palm this morning? Was it a drift dive on your rebreather or no?
Yeah, we did a two-tank trip, the first on a wreck, and then we did a drift dive along the reef after the wreck dive. Kind of a typical two-tank trip.
Got it. Yeah, and how deep did you go? Were you working on depth?
Oh, not
or,
deep. No,
yeah.
This was – I'm actually doing a class – we're about 70 feet on the wreck and about 60 feet on the reef. I'm doing a class – a guy – if you remember the Hollis Explorer – rebreather while yeah. the Hollis when they got purchased by Hewish they're not supporting that anymore, so there's no support for people to own those, but the KISS rebreathers that I work with have come up with a conversion kit to convert the Hollis semi-closed rebreather by taking off the electronics into a KISS rebreather. So it's a recreational thing limited to 100 feet, and I'm teaching a class on that today for a guy.
How about that? That's kind of cool. Yeah, those were neat units.
Yeah, so it just converts it over. So it's very cool. It takes all the electronics, makes it run on a constant mass flow, and it works like a champ. We had it at Lauderdale by the Sea yesterday. We had it, today for the drip dives, and then we're going diving tomorrow morning.
And you were telling me before the show that you actually did see a bunch of lobster yesterday when you were doing that Lauderdale by the Sea dive.
Right, Lauderdale by the Sea, we saw several lobster in shallow water, 10, 15 feet.
There you go.
We saw a couple today, not a whole lot on the drift dive, not on the wreck, but last week I was up in West Palm with my wife, and without exaggerating, we had to see 30 or 40 or more.
Wow.
on both the dives during the day on Saturday.
Yeah, what's the rule with rebreathers? So you're not allowed to catch lobsters during mini season on a rebreather, I believe. Isn't that right, or am I mistaken?
I honestly don't know. I've always been told that you can't spearfish or you can't collect game on a rebreather, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I've always been told that. I've just been taking pictures. Today I was just teaching, so I wasn't even taking pictures. But
yeah.
But every time I've gone lobstering, I've just done it on open circuit.
Got it. Yeah. It would be an unfair advantage. But I don't know. Have you ever taken a rebreather on one of these drift dives at night and did one of those human lure dangling type dives? Have you ever done that yourself?
Yeah. I'm not on a rebreather, but actually last Saturday night, my wife and I did that dive up at Pura Vida in West Palm. They do a blackwater night dive.
Yeah.
So you go out a couple miles, you're 600 feet. They go to you hit 650 feet of water, and then they put a lighted pole down that's got lights at 10, 20, 30, and 40 feet,
mm-hmm.
and you drift. And we actually drifted. They told us it's a 90-minute dive. We drifted for 6.5 miles.
Wow. Okay, so they called that
a... Yeah, we saw all kinds of weird stuff coming up from the bottom. We had done it in Hawaii before,
right.
But this is the first time I'd done it in West Palm. But they do it a couple nights a week, so I'd highly recommend it for anybody who wants to do it.
Okay,
it's not for everybody.
Exactly.
Not for everybody, but it's fun.
Well, there's a fear of the unknown factor in there. But they called it a dark water dive or black water dive.
They call it a black water dive.
I think
so what they basically do is they go offshore. The captain, who's very good, kind of calculates what the current is, and then drives that many miles south. So you drift north. When you come up after 90 minutes, you're almost right at the inlet, and you come right back in.
Well, you heard our amendment to this whole idea. Instead of a blackwater dive, which is probably politically incorrect these days, they ought to call it a dangling dive.
A dangling dive, yeah, because you're just kind of dangling. You're right.
You have to put the glow stick up
your... was not very excited when I told him we're doing it. He said, wait a minute, you're going to be up pitch black, 11 o'clock at night, and you're going to light yourself up for the sharks to find you. He didn't think that sounded like a really great idea.
He didn't like that idea.
He didn't like that idea, yeah, because he wanted me to come back and take call for him, I guess.
Yeah, sounds like a wuss. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What kind of man is that? Come on. No, I mean,
exactly.
Take the glow stick, stick it up your keister. I mean, I think it would be very well marketed on several levels. Hey, it'd be something to just say, hey, I did this once. And then
you could sell the T-shirt.
Exactly, for sure. I'm a dangler. I don't know how the wife would feel about that, but I don't know.
Dangle dive in West Palm Beach or something, right?
Yes, exactly. We're a dangling. But anyway, all right, so you're finishing up your class tomorrow, is that right?
Right.
And then this guy will be certified on the KISS rebreather? That's the goal?
Exactly.
Excellent. What else is on the agenda? Are you like in serious instructor mode right now, or do you get to play while you're doing this too?
I'm instructor mode, but it's always still fun.
Yeah.
I was fun diving with my wife last weekend. I went cave diving Monday with a friend of mine. I had Monday off, just as luck had it. And we did a long day, we went way back, about 4,000 feet back into Jenny Springs.
Wow.
Scootered the first 3,000 and swam the last 1,000. So did that, and then it's back to being on call here shortly. So I've got a couple of weeks I probably won't be able to do much diving, but I've been very fortunate the last couple of weeks, been in the water quite a bit.
Yeah, well, Dr. Doug has to save people's lives, so it gets in the way of his diving.
Dangling
sometimes.
Doug.
That's right.
Dr. Dangle.
All right. Well, you have a good one. Thanks for checking in, Doug. We appreciate it.
All right. You guys have a great week.
There you go. We will. Dr. Doug Ebersol. All right. That'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it is always better. Where, gang?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everyone.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here. Down in the mud here.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.